Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to The Midpoint. Well, today is another family special episode. It's not Kenny, it's not Lois, so it can only be Reuben. Here by popular demand from him. Actually, that's not fair. There are quite a few of you asking about teenage boys and midlife mums and midlife dads and the challenges that being a boy in today's world poses and wanting to have a listen to Reuben. So he is here. Hi, Reuben.
Hello, Gabby.
Mum.
Hey, Mum.
You do want to come on The Midpoint. This is absolutely not...
Well, I felt jealous. Everyone else had a go and I didn't. And I felt sort of left out. Maybe, you know, maybe no one wanted to see me, but I felt like I deserved a say. If Lois got to go, I thought I definitely deserved to go.
Okay, well, you're here. And you're here on the precipice of adulthood. You're just weeks away from being 18 years old. And you are days away from leaving home to pursue your dream to be a rugby player. So this is a big moment in your life. It's a big time in your life.
Almost like a midpoint between, you know, one part of my life and the other, some would say. So, yeah, I mean, I'm quite excited. You know, I'm just trying to enjoy my final days as, in some sense, a child, you know, before I get my own house and have to do my own cleaning and all that sort of stuff that is truly so scary.
Well, we'll get to the scary stuff in just a moment. I just thought it was quite ironic that last night there was a typical Gabby and Reuben exchange happened. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm referring to.
Do you mean takeaway gate?
Takeaway gate, yeah.
Well, I had spoken to Dad, and Dad had said, yeah, get a takeaway, just finished your A-level, just finished school. Quite a big achievement, some would say. Not Mum. No. Nothing's excusable for a takeaway. So I took it in my own hands, found a card. Maybe I shouldn't have done, but I thought I'm getting, you know, getting paid soon.
Let's just explain this. Dad and I were away. I was working away last night. There was loads of food in the fridge. Plenty of things.
There was salmon and salmon only, so I felt as if the only, you know, reasonable thing to do was to get a takeaway. When there's salmon and eggs, and that's all you have.
No, there was more than that. Anyway, and it was classic you just bombarding me with messages. And when I
didn't reply.
And when I don't reply,
me and opened the messages just, for like 3 hours.
We do have quite, I would say, we have quite a fiery relationship, but it also has periods of kind of laughs and good communication. But I think that is because you probably wouldn't, I don't know if you agree with this, but I think we're kind of more alike than you think.
I don't know if I'll agree with that one, if I'm honest with you. I think... Maybe, I think I always resemble more to Dad's personality, but I think maybe I get some fieriness from you. Yeah, maybe potentially, and competitiveness. I don't think I have your discipline, so that's something. I mean, or your academic prowess. Or
you're going to need a bit of discipline to be a professional rugby player.
Yes, but I have Dad's discipline, which is enough, just not yours. You know, I'm not going to go on a juice cleanse or something like that. That's never going to happen, you know?
You don't need to do that. Anyway, I thought it was quite ironic, and you still wanted to come on, even though you were sore that I wouldn't let you have a take. Well, it wasn't that I wouldn't let you have a takeaway. I just said pay for it yourself.
What really got me quite butthurt was when you came in my room, and yeah, it was 11:30 a.m., and you started being annoyed that I was asleep at 11:30, and I was like, I've got literally nothing to do or nothing on my agenda apart from this podcast today, and you're having a go at me. And I just think, what's that about?
Being in bed at 11:30 on a day when it is 26 degrees outside is close to being a crime. I just can't believe
it. In this room, it's close to being a crime.
The podcast room is very warm today because I turned the air conditioning on and accidentally knocked out the pipe, and so it was blowing hot air into the room. So that's why if you see any clips of this, Reuben has got what looks like a lake for a mustache above his top lip. Reuben, let's talk again. Let's get on to the kind of nitty gritty of being a teenage boy in today's world and what it means to be a boy and masculinity and all those things which you've had to kind of navigate over the last few years. And these are conversations we've had quite a bit, aren't they?
Yeah.
About people like, I hate to say his name again, but Andrew Tate and those kinds of people on, why are you rolling your eyes at me?
I feel like we give him a platform by talking about him.
Okay, well, let's say some of those influencers who have what I would say are negative, toxic opinions about women.
Of course,
women.
But I don't think they actually have any power over genuine people. I think they have power over about 1% of boys who sadly are lost and maybe they don't get the attention from just that they need in real life. They don't have anything they're majorly good at, so anything to focus on. So they see this man come on the telly, come on the YouTube, say, this is how you can fix all your problems. And it's obviously not true. You know, and I think half the outrageous things he says are just so he can get that attention from the media and have that just opinion in like, you know, society, so that everyone's like, oh, Andrew Tate. Well, by, you know, getting on Piers Morgan, even if you think he's awful, it gets him viewership and it gets him naturally popularity. You know, and there's always been people like this on YouTube, on TikTok, but the reason why he's grown so big is because he's managed to make his way into genuine media, not just social media.
Are there more like him that we just don't know about?
Yeah,
there?
Loads, but no one respects him because they're just like, they're, half of them are like, because at least Andrew Tate, he's quite a well, you know, well-built man. He's not an ugly man.
So the masculinity that he exudes, what you were referring to there was his aesthetic kind of...
Almost, yeah. Like the way, if he lived the same life as, you know, just an average human being, he would not be respected as much. It's because whether he's done it legitimately or not, he has a lot of money. He lives in a nice house. So people then idolise him because of that and listen to what he says.
What about your mates?
Do my mates like idolise Andrew? No, because they just, I mean, they might, in a joking way, they go, they're like, you know, pretend like to be him occasionally, but that no one actually goes, yeah, what you're saying is right. Like, this is genuine. A lot of people take it as satire, you know, and just think that's just, it's
so hilarious. Do you think we should perhaps be less concerned by him and give him less attention? Is what
Absolutely.
You're
I don't think he's got any power. He's on house arrest in Romania.
But he's symbolic, though, perhaps, of what felt like a period of time, and it still kind of feels it, where boys are kind of struggling for the right role models. Would you agree with that? Because of, obviously, and rightly, you know, attention being paid to the rights of women in society and progress that women have made in the last, you know, 25 years or so. And there was this kind of conflict of kind of like men have got to be all things. They've got to be caring and understanding, but they've also got to be masculine. They've also got to be, you know, do you think there was a bit of a confusion for young boys and men as you were growing up about how you can be all those things?
Growing up, in terms of being a child, not at all. I think if you're socialized into this society, born, say, around my time.
2005.
It's easier. Yeah, 2005. It's easy because that's what you're brought up to just be emotional caring as well as, you know, being a, you know, boy in my sense. But I think people before that, in that sort of era when it was changing in the 80s and 90s, you know, or 70s, where women were getting more in power, as they should be, I think it's harder for them because they've grown up thinking one thing and then now that it's sort of shifted.
So the your generation,
I think my generation, it's not that hard. I think if you have the correct, if your parents raise you right, if you have the right school, you know, if your school teaches you the right values, you know, it's not hard to fall off the path though and think, oh, I don't know.
So you think school's important in this, the morals and values?
To look at it from a sociological standpoint, primary, schools are sort of secondary socialization in the sense that schools are designed to get people ready for society. So in the modern era, that is, you know, to be what a modern person should be. So caring, it's man, for example, caring, you know, loving, providing as well. But obviously the same for the woman. It's a dual burden. The woman has the same things to do as whereas before it was two different functions.
This sounds like something that you could have learnt in sociology, eh?
Yeah, I think I wrote that in my last paper, actually, 2 days ago. So that'd be why this has been regurgitated.
I know it wasn't your favourite topic, but it's gone in, hasn't it? So mothers of kind of like, who are listening to this, who say got 13, 14-year-old boys, and they know that their kids are on social media all the time. How can they, do you think, kind of intercept those, you know?
Let me rebuttal this. What did you do when I was 13 and 14? Did you do?
Well, you didn't have a mobile phone till you were 13.
Yeah.
And
no, 12.
No, it was the end of year 8. Yeah. So you were nearly 13.
I was still 12.
Okay, but you were just a month away. The only reason I let you have it then was because you asked me, what did you say? You said, can I have my phone before term end so I can hand it in to my teacher in the morning?
It was really embarrassing because like they had like a box where you'd hand in your phone for the day. I used to bring fake phones in and hand them in. And people were like, oh, you got a phone? I was like, yeah, I got a phone. No, I didn't. So eventually I just felt really good handing it in.
So you had, you know, a phone at that time and I didn't let you have like all the apps straight away.
No, so you let me have Instagram, but not Snapchat, you know, so which at the time was fine. You know, there was no issue with that.
Okay. So when you started going on Snapchat and then TikTok wasn't even a thing when you first
It was called it. Musical.ly, actually.
Was it?
Do you remember Musical.ly?
No.
I was obsessed with it from the ages of 11 to 12. And then it started like trend.
Is that the one what you used to do?
Dance and stuff.
Yes,
yeah, that's the one. So they changed the name of it to
TikTok.
We've
got some super embarrassing video somewhere of you doing that.
I think it's online, I think. The account's public, so if you want to find it.
And you then started using those things. And like any parent, I was worried that, you know, you were going to be seeing things that your brain and your mind wasn't ready for, you know, because there are things.
What, is that TikTok, do you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, but I think when I joined TikTok, when I was 14, 13, it was sort of lockdown each time, wasn't it? Around there. No, it's 14, 15 about then. But that's when TikTok was really blowing up. And there wasn't Andrew Tate's on there. There was TikTok boys who did dances. So there was no way I was going to be influenced. TikTok has changed a lot. And there was no way I was going to be influenced by the likes of Andrew Tate. Whereas now, if I was 14, you know, it could be a different story. I wouldn't be able to tell you, obviously, because I remember watching people just like dance with their cats, you know what I mean, when I was that age, not have, you know, it's derogatory views on there at all.
So if you, but there were things on there that, you know, you'd tell me about something that once you saw that was disturbing and we discussed it and, you know.
I think that was a link to like a, that my mate might have sent me. That. I don't think that was on, that was just online. And right. Not necessarily.
But
there.
It's still the same thing, you know, it's all in there, isn't it? It's in this phone. That's yeah, my yeah. point,
you,
right?
You can access pretty much anything from
yeah
phone.
Exactly. So how, and I, you know what I think about, you know, phones and kids, and I think in the future it's going to be seen as something that we can't believe we gave kids access to all these things at such yeah. a young age.
I don't think it will get that far. I don't think people will be like, oh, you, that's outrageous, you've got phone. Yeah, I just think my generation, me especially, will sort of know the dangers more than your generation did, so it will change in the access
yeah,
that
but
kids
I think
get
we
to
did
it.
Know potentially.
I think you did. I don't think most parents did, because most kids had phones at 10 years old. So I think by the time I'm old enough to have a child, I think there'll be a whole generation of people who've come through social media as a childhood in adolescence. So I think it will change, and it'll be maybe like limit them from certain things.
What
maybe.
Were you doing?
I'm not sure. I'm only 17, so I haven't decided quite yet my stance, but I imagine probably around the same as you, you know, not let them have certain apps, maybe probably Snapchat a bit later. But it won't be Snapchat then. It'll be something else. So it
but,
depends what's
but
around.
But overall, you don't feel that it
I has... think you did make the right decision giving it to me later.
Oh, thanks,
but at
really.
The time, I wouldn't have realised that, obviously, because
you just
child.
Argued with me all the time.
Of course I did. But you were cruel. One, I think it was my 12th birthday party. They gave me a fake phone.
I didn't do that.
No, you did.
No, that was
it,
Lois.
It said Gabby, Kenny and Lois. Yeah, it was a box.
It didn't say Gabby. It would say Mummy and Daddy.
Probably. But it was a box and I thought it was a phone. It was a Nokia. I thought, it's just a phone. I don't care. Yeah, opened it. It was a picture of a phone.
I think that was Lois. Don't think
it was not funny.
Because you were obsessed by it. And, you know, it did leave me feeling...
I really thought I was getting a phone for that birthday. So I was thinking, this is awesome. And then
you
no
see,
phone.
From a parent's point of view, so Dad and I, and Dad particularly, would link any time that you were, your behaviour was particularly kind of questionable, or if you were being...
Oh, I hated that when you did that. Link should have linked link any time I made any mistake, was a bit moody, it was because of phones. And my God, it wasn't true. That wasn't true. Maybe sometimes I've been at too much and a bit cranky. Half the time, you know, I just had a bad day at school.
So
you know?
It was just hormones.
Yeah. I mean, I was 14, 13, like, you know, and.
But that's the hard thing about phones. It's hard for us to work out, you know, what is it? Why is he feeling like this? Well, or what's...
It annoyed me that Dad to this day still says that, you know, at the age of 18 goes, you're in a bad mood because you're on your phone. No, I'm not.
I'm just in a bad mood.
I'm just not feeling great. I've done 8 hours vision today, you know, Dad. I'm just a bit down, all right?
Speaking of down and mental health issues, let's mm-hmm. talk a little bit about that, because you, about a year and a half ago, you said to me that, told me that you were feeling anxious uh-huh. and you had anxiety and you wanted a bit of help with that. Let's talk a little bit about that, because recognizing that you had anxiety, I think, comes from actually reading a lot about it and understanding, you know, what you're supposed to feel like and how you feel. How did you know it was something more than just a bad mood that day?
Because my girlfriend at the time had noticed it quite a lot. And then she was like, you may as well, you know, go and see someone. There's no harm in it. You know, so I thought I'd just see what you had to say and think.
What did anxiety feel like?
I would just, I can't describe it perfectly, but I'd say my chest was like quite tight. For no reason or no apparent reason. And I just was like, and I just felt a bit like worried about things that I shouldn't be. And it would build up in my head. And I sort of realized that wasn't normal, and it was happening a fair bit, you know, not all the time, but I mean, it wasn't a bad case, but I just thought I may as well get that, you know, have a look at that. Maybe talk to someone about it. Mm-hmm. There's no point, you know, not talking to someone about it.
And now that you generally don't feel, I know you're hot.
I'm sore. I was going to wear this top to go out later. No, I'm not.
Now that you don't feel like that, you know, if you feel that coming on now, what are the things that you do to help yourself?
I just think go for a run, maybe go in the gym. You know, gym helps me a lot with it. And at the time, I think I just was in emotion. I think it was more, could have been hormones having a bit of effect to it as well, you know. And I just feel like at the time I was just struggling with things, because I can't tell you what helps with it. I just think staying positive is something quite easy to do. It's a mindset switch, not necessarily a long change. I think you've just got to look at the world in a different outlook, you know, and just sort
But
of...
you've done that quite successfully. I think a lot of people listening...
Was that when I failed my theory test for the second time? Half passed now, by the way. But when I failed the second
after
time...
After five attempts.
Four. One of them I fell asleep, so technically three. But I remember saying, Mum was fuming. You were... No, come on. She was not happy. She was like, it costs 60 quid if we go, which is which is fair enough. Okay, I'll give her that. But I just said, at least I'm happy. Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? At least I'm happy myself. I'm in a great mood. I'm happy. What would you want more than your child to be happy? So it was hard for it to come back from that one.
Yeah, it was hard to come back from that. The reason I was so annoyed on that second.
I plan on saying a results day as well.
The reason I was so annoyed on that second one was because I knew you hadn't revised for it. And I thought, there's no point just keep entering these theory tests if you're not actually going to do the revision for it.
So, yeah, and then the third one fell asleep. So
yeah. And by the way, you did fail a fourth one and then you did it five times.
yes, correct.
But going
thanks
back
for
to
clarifying, I really appreciate
back,
it.
Going back to if you do me a chore later, I might take that out of the podcast. going back to how you deal with that, because I think this is really important, because communication is key. And I think you've always been somebody that has a very much worn his heart on his sleeve. And if you don't feel great, you talk about it, right?
Yeah.
Which is a really brilliant attribute to be able to do that, and I think that helps you. And a lot of teenage boys they're not quite sure how to have those conversations. Yeah. So what would you say to them if they were, you know, 13, 14 and feeling like they should talk?
Well, I think what you've got to appreciate that maybe you don't realize is that, you know, you were very, from this, since I was born, since I could talk, since I remember things, we'd always talk about things. Nothing was ever really kept in. Whereas that's not the same in all families. It's different. There's different dynamics and it might be harder to talk about things. So, but if you can't talk to your family, I suggest going to someone to talk about, you know, to your school, you know, and anyway, there's always a way that you can talk to someone, whether it's online, there's help mm-hmm. places. But I just feel like if you're feeling down, it's consistent and you're worried about it, just talk to someone. There's no harm in it. You're not going to get told off for it, you know?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, let's talk about being a twin, which is a special relationship that I cannot relate to at all. I've got siblings, but obviously I've never had a twin. What's it like having a twin?
From my knowledge, I've only ever had a twin. I have no other sister, so I don't think I can answer this without saying I assume it feels like having a sister who is also, or a brother who is a similar age to you. So you kind of do relate because your sister's like 11 months younger than you. But what is, I think, a bit different to is having a sort of similar friend group. And having, so I think that's, so, you know, which I think could bring you closer. I think, you know, we don't argue that much. We're not at each other's throats all the time. So I think that helps it. You know, I mean, you know, we are friends who are friends. You know what I mean? Having sort of that bubble that's similar.
And you've been together your whole lives, obviously. And you've been through, you know, loads of different things together. You're going to go now. You're going to leave home before she does. You're going home soon.
I did say that when I was like five. I predicted it. So
how do you think that's going to affect the dynamic of your relationship?
I'm not sure it will at all because we have it, you know, due to social media, like you said, we mentioned before, you can talk to anyone anywhere. You can see anything, anytime.
Do you think you'll keep in contact?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm still going to come home. I'm not going away forever, you know? So I'm going to see her.
You're going to WhatsApp each other and Snapchat, whatever.
WhatsApp it. No, we're not going to WhatsApp each other. We're going to call each other or text each other.
And what about me? Are you going to call me every day?
For a fee, I'll do that. Yeah, why not?
You're quite good at messaging me, actually. Do you remember, like, when you were at Shiplake, you used to always send me messages, emails?
Email you, yeah. You used to email Mum, I got detention. Sorry.
But you communicate with me in the middle of the day, which I'll be working away. Something will pop up into my inbox. So just keep texting me, messaging me, let me know you're all right, okay? And that everything's going well, because it's going to be a big change for us. Have you thought about that, how we're going to feel, the emptiness?
Dad, I have, not you. I think you'll be fine. I think he'll maybe struggle a bit more, mainly because that's what he said. You know, so,
how do you think he's going to struggle?
Well, he's going to be in a full feminine household, which I think's, you know, he's going to try. Luckily for him, he's got a wife who knows a fair bit about sport and might watch some sports game with him. Probably watches more than he does. So He's lucky in that sense, but...
He has asked if he could come up and stay in the spare room in your house in Northampton.
Yeah, but I just think that is weird, because like, it's an academy house with two 18-year-old kids. Like, I've said to him, just get in the Premier Inn nearby, you know? Come up for a pint, sure, but you're not crashing on the sofa, mate.
What are you
you're
most,
51, Kenny.
What are you most worried about leaving home?
I think I mentioned it earlier. Just keeping things tidy, cleaning, cooking, all the maintenance things, paying bills. I don't know how to do that. No one taught me. So
why do you say nobody's taught you?
Well, how do you pay them? Do you have to? Do I just get them straight out my bank?
You set up standing orders or direct.
What's that? I don't know what that is.
I have set you.
School has not taught me this.
This is going to be a busy week, isn't it? Before you leave. I have set you up a proper bank account as opposed to what you have now, which is basically a baby bank account.
Yeah, like a Monzo.
You'll find food is quite expensive.
Yeah, I've realised that. So what I'm going to do is just look for bargains all over the gaff. Do you know what I mean? Just go in there and just find some cheap meat.
You don't want cheap meat, though.
Well, I'm living, you know.
Yeah, but you're an athlete. You've got the best quality stuff inside you.
Yeah,
that you
but
can afford.
It's the money as well. So that causes a bit of an issue in that
I understand
sense.
That. You're not on a massive salary.
No.
You're going to have to budget. This is the thing. You're going to have to budget, right? You're going to have to look at a piece of meat and think, right, what can I make out of this? How long can it last? Not, I'm going to eat everything in one
go.
Well,
you know what? We've got, as Bear Grylls said, improvise, overcome, adapt, because we don't have the budget. So, you know.
Oh, well, I'm glad Bear Grylls is bringing you up. That's good. So we're very excited about the food bill going down, I have to tell you, Rubes.
I reckon it'll cut in half. I reckon it will literally...
What about, like, being with all the adults that you're going to be with? You know, does that scare you a little bit?
Yeah, it's the banter.
The big
and
boys.
Whether I can just keep up, you know?
You know, Courtney Laws plays for Northampton.
Yeah, but
position.
I'm just hoping he doesn't talk to me, you know?
He will talk to you.
Let's me get on with things. You know what I mean?
These are all, you know...
I just got added to the group chat.
What, to the scene?
The big one. I was like, I technically have those guys' numbers now.
You are.
I would never call them or text them, but they're available for me. Do you know what I mean?
Are you nervous about anything at all in terms of the rugby part?
Well,
things?
What I found out is that the backs and forwards, this is what Henry's told me, the backs and forwards do different gym sessions. So I've got to show up the first one with him, and he knows everyone, and I'm just going to be like on my ones with these huge mammoth of men. You know what I mean? So...
I'm sure they'll look out for you. I'm sure by the end of the summer, you'll all be best of pals. It's going to be great.
Well, I'll just get on with it. You know, what my dad said is head down, don't talk to him for 3 weeks. So I'm taking his advice because he's been there. So I'm quite mouthy. So if I mouth off and then, you know, get to training and get thumped.
No, you don't want to do that.
No, so just stay quiet.
You see, there aren't many people that start their first job and worry about getting thumped, but it is kind of part of the...
Yeah, it's part of the game.
And when you say thumped, you know, it's not a bullying culture. Let's just...
No, let's be clear, it's not. That's just the nature of that. That's how it works.
Yeah, you know what somebody I mean? Puts a big hit on training.
Yeah, I'm going to be trying to put big hits on, but I just feel like some of the other guys might be a little bit better than me at doing that, so...
Yeah. It's so exciting.
It's a phenomenal opportunity.
It is a great opportunity.
Obviously it's
and
scary,
you've worked hard. Yeah. And that's the other thing I want to talk about as well is sporty kids. A lot of parents have contacted me and said, oh, my kids are sporty. And how do you, you know, how does, because, you know, to get to where you've got, obviously, is a lot of hard work. But there were points along the way where you didn't appear to want it. You didn't seem to be kind of applying yourself. You
well,
know?
That is the nature of being 12 years old, Mum. So. You know what? Yeah, mum's saying I wasn't applying myself at age 7. Sorry, mum.
No.
I reckon I started applying myself in year 11, which is when I'm 15. So I'd say,
okay, that's
not applying myself is. I think you pushed me and thought that potentially I was a bit better, and was more committed than I was at a young age.
Right.
You know, like,
when you say pushed you, what do you mean?
Well, like you would tell me, like, oh, do you want to be an athlete? When I was going out to my mate's house at the age of 14, and it was like, I don't know, mum. You know.
But so, you did. You said you wanted to do it.
Yeah, but you. I know I said I wanted to do it, but like in the sense that earlier on in life, I didn't decide I probably wanted to do it. Like it was sort of just what I said I wanted to do. And then when I was 15, I thought, okay, I've got a chance. So that's meant the most of it.
So you feel that perhaps when you were saying this is what I want to do, and I would say, well, should you be going out and doing that? That perhaps
it just annoyed me sometimes, Mum. I'll be honest, because it's like, yeah, I'm my father's son. I enjoy going out and having fun. So and you are, you know, you're. Very committed to the gym, you know, fitness, so committed, your diet. We are very different approaches to life. I enjoy going out, but I also enjoy working hard. So I live a happy balance.
You seem to think that I've gone through life without ever going to
party. I truly believe that you've never been to a house party. I'll stand by that till I die.
I have been to house
party. And I think you went out 3 times in 3 years at Durham. I mean that.
No, I
think you did. Charlotte said otherwise. So
I did go out and I did have a good time, but I don't, you know, I didn't perhaps go out nightclubbing every night when I was at university, that's for sure. And I don't love nightclubs, I'll be honest. So,
well, that's because you've been to them twice, you've given them a shot. You know.
I prefer house parties. And I don't mind, you know, a gentle festival, that's fine as well.
When was the last time I went to a festival, actually? And don't say Penfest, that does not count as festival.
Penfest, that'd be the last time.
Yeah. Well, when you were my age, what festivals did you go to along that?
I didn't go to festivals at your age. They didn't have festivals for kids when I was.
Glastonbury was still about?
Yeah, as if I could afford to go from Leeds to Glastonbury.
Well, Leeds, is it Leeds? Leeds Fest. Is it Leeds?
I don't know if Leeds Festival actually happened when I was a kid.
All right.
Yeah, you'll forever grow up thinking that for some reason that I'm a fun sponge and we can't change that. So
I think it's a family consensus.
Family, speaking of family, growing up with me and dad as your parents and obviously the jobs that we do, people know what we do. Honest assessment, has that been a problem for you at all? Because people do ask me this question and I go, well, I don't think so.
I do get a bit of chat and I will get a bit of chat about you being my mum.
Bad chat?
Oh yeah, banter, you know, that I've just got to sort of, you know, got to deal with. And I feel like that might come up in the rugby playing world because the nature of it, you are a sports presenter, so... Dad doesn't come up as much because not many people know him. So
they don't remember him playing.
Well, yeah, but some people don't, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and so generally you feel it's been...
Generally think that there hasn't been that much of an issue with it. And I think maybe when I was younger, I found it like quite hard because I get like taking the mech out of for it. But eventually I just sort of, you know, when you grow up naturally, you just go deal with it as it is.
Could we have done anything different?
No, well, yeah, if you could have done anything different, you would have been,
Done a different job.
Done a different job, yeah. So it's like you can't... Nothing you could have done as a parent would differ.
So let's just sum up. We're coming towards the end of our time together. Is there anything else that you want to talk about?
I'd like to ask you a few questions, actually, Mum.
Oh, okay.
What's it like being a parent that has to sort of, you know, navigate that? Who, you know, getting in squads, not getting in squads. You know, which for me is being obviously.
Well, I think you might not think this. I mean, we're enormously proud of how you've worked and how hard you've worked, but as I know you know that bit, but you might not realize how much we take on your emotion, you know? So the thing that I always, people say, are you worried when Ruben plays rugby? And this sounds terrible. I can't think about the injuries because otherwise I just wouldn't enjoy watching you play.
You did when I moved to back row because you were like, you sort of, when you found out, oh, I'm in a back row now, as opposed to a prick little winger, you were like, ooh.
Well, I was worried that you'd kind of...
I think it was coniflowers were your main worry.
Coniflowers
were the main worry.
It was a main thing. But what I do worry about is if you don't play well, how that will affect you. Because I know that, you know, that you will take it on board really badly and you'll feel terrible about yourself.
Yeah.
So I just always want you to have a good game, you know, so that you come away feeling good about yourself. That's so when I watch you, it's not that I'm not thinking about what could happen to you physically. And maybe I should, but I just don't want to deal with that part of it. I want you to have a good game so that you feel good, because the emotional roller coaster of having a child in sport is very real, you know, because sometimes you're feeling great about yourself and your self-esteem obviously is going up and down. And because you weren't super academic at school and didn't...
That's very nice, especially you're cutting it. Super academic, I like that. Use that more often.
Because you got a lot of your self-esteem from sport, I wanted you to feel good about yourself when you did sport. So I think that's the thing. And, you know, we've had obviously to travel all over the place with you, and dad's taking you up to Coventry twice a week when you're at WASP training, and, you know, traveling all over doing it. It's obviously a family effort, isn't it? It's a team effort to get you to places and make sure that... But that part I really enjoyed, and I don't see it as a sacrifice. I think we all really enjoyed, you know...
Well, let's be fair on this part. Coventry and the traveling most of the time is dad.
Dad did a lot of that.
He did a lot of that. But he enjoys that more. Now, so here's a little story for you. So I think you must have been to Coventry maybe over the 3 years, like 6 or 7 times.
I think a bit more than that.
Come on. Don't lie to the people. Come on. But Dad, he was week in, week out. One time, she drove me from my school to Coventry, which is where the WASP training was, Central Midlands training at that point. And I remember you said for
it was
about
2.5 hours, wasn't it?
Yes, but that was every time for Dad. And Dad, you would just come on, I've just driven to Coventry. And Dad was like... Really? I never do that. You know what I mean? God forbid you have to get from here to Northampton, well, you'd hate it.
We'd travel, so we'd leave home at 3 but and get back at 10 at night. So
yeah,
it's a 7-hour
round
trip.
Yeah. But to be fair, to give you credit, me and Dad were very used to it after 3 years. Whereas,
do you think it was good for your relationship with Dad to have that time together?
And we argued a fair bit in the car. I think my friend Alex has a video where he's just sat in the back and we're just gnarling at each other. It depends who we were with. If it was someone that we wouldn't usually take, we wouldn't argue, but it could kick off.
Yeah. I asked you the other day, we were talking about doing this podcast together, and I asked you the other day about things that kind of like might have made you, you know, we talked about your anxiety earlier on and how you dealt with things like that. And I said, what do you think made it like that? And you said something really interesting to me. You said, school. Let's talk a little bit about school.
School in this modern environment, and it's not any school's fault particularly, I don't think. I think it's just the way we educate and having to deal with especially boys' schools, kids who are all going through puberty and all the hormones are sky high, up and down, up and down, up and down. And so it just gets a bit sort of boisterous and it gets a bit sort of, you know what I mean? It's quite a scary environment for a kid to go into, especially at 13. Sixth form, it's a bit more calmed down, but it's still, you know, you still have like sort of it's difficult to deal with, like, you know, the social pressures, academic pressures, even sporting pressures. So it's, you know, it all sort of accumulates and it can get quite stressful.
Ruben, thank you so much for coming on The Midpoint and sharing your, you know, experiences and things you kind of learnt, and I guess how you've navigated some of the teenage pitfalls and some of the teenage challenges. The thing I should ask you before we go, you might not have noticed or heard, but I talk about the menopause quite a bit.
I haven't seen any ads on any tubes or buses, you know, or be sent any pictures of, look, it's your mum on the bus. So
we've talked about that obviously at home as a family.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I'm going to go through it. I feel I'm all right.
You probably know a lot more about the menopause than most 17-year-old boys.
I think that is safe to say. Yeah, I think that's a safe judgment.
Do you think it will help you going forwards when you kind of like...
understanding women?
Well, just understanding women generally. Your understanding of women.
Yeah, of course. You know, I feel like, you know, well, when I get older, because you've spoken about it quite a bit, I think I'll understand.
But
you are
going to come into contact with women of my age when you're older.
No, I appreciate that.
There might be somebody at the club when you go to Northampton, a woman who works, you know,
she might be an admin.
She might be one of the physios. She might, might even come across somebody in the media, you know.
Yeah, of course.
So you'll, you know, have an understanding of what goes on. And
yeah, I've not got a detailed understanding, but I understand the principle of what it is and how it works.
Yeah, in the same way that you knew what was going to happen in puberty.
Well, no, I don't think I did I was excited more or less when I was 11. Because everyone was like, how do I go from that to that? When does it happen? Do you know what I mean?
But in terms of your sister, you know, with Lois as well.
But I think also school does a great job now, and in my generation, of teaching that. You know, I knew what it was for girl and boy going into puberty when I was like 12, 13.
Right. But now you've got the full range of life. It's all out there. It's all out there. Yeah. It's all to look forward to.
Can't wait.
I'm going to let you go because you've got sweat actually pouring in your eyes.
Yeah, I can't see. It's gone. I cannot see.
This room is about 120 degrees.
Yeah,
now.
I can't see in that eye. It's getting really painful now.
And I don't want to inhibit the rest of your day because I'm sure you've got some exciting plans.
I do. You're
off to a barbecue with your friends. Ruben's living his kind of whole summer in a week, basically.
Yeah, because I'm obviously going off to work. I like saying that, rubbish work. That's brilliant, isn't it?
It is brilliant. You're going off to work and your mates are going off to uni.
So I'm gramming it all this week.
Gramming it is one of your made up words.
There we go, I've done it again. I've been in the room talking for too long.
Okay, thank you so much, Ruben, for coming on The Midpoint.
Anytime.
Maybe you'll check back in with us a few months down the line when you've been a professional rugby player a few months and see if it was everything you expected.
Brilliant, can't wait.
Okay, love you lots.
Love you lots. Bye, I'll wait for spring.
I don't know, it's kind of like the end of the podcast.
I see, okay. All right, I'm done.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.